Glory to God. Let's go ahead and praise Him and lift your hands. Thank Him. Father, you at home, lift your hands and praise Him and thank God. Father, we praise you this morning. We want to tell you that we love you. Oh, it's so good to be alive. Oh, blessed be God forever. So we praise you this morning. I'll bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Your word says, let them magnify me. Thank you, Jesus. We magnify you. We magnify the word. Hallelujah. The word is working in our lives. Lord God, we give you praise. Thank you, Father, for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Everybody say, thank you, Jesus. Your word is alive. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. He's my teacher. And thank you, Lord. The word works all the time. In Jesus' name, I'm ready to learn. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Go ahead, be seated. Well, I'm glad you're here this morning, and I think we're done with our holidays for now. And I asked Pastor Ken to give me some time to speak here so that I can get this ready. But he was so eager to hear the word that he put me on as fast as he could. So I like these kinds of people, but sometimes they bother you. Praise God. So this our topic this morning is about spiritual power and authority. And sometimes you might say the authority of the believer. Spiritual power and authority. Our title of the message is Unseen Influences. Unseen Influences of the Enemy. And the idea I'm proposing to you today is I'm going to show you in a moment. I'm going to read a few scriptures here first, and then we're going to look at these scriptures over again. Let's go to, let's see here. I want to go to Luke chapter 9. And verse 1. Jesus gave his authority, or gave power. He gave authority to his disciples. In Luke 9:1, the Bible says, then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. Notice he said he called his 12. And that's the very first training these people had in the ministry. Gospel, God calls. How many people know that God calls people in the ministry, and he's still calling people to ministry? He might be calling you this morning to a Faith Life Bible School. And those of you that are watching online, maybe God calling you to go to Faith Life Bible School. You know, and so we made it affordable. And this advertisement is brought to you by Faith Life Bible School. And so the Bible says he gave them two things. He called his 12. And he gave them, number one, power. Everybody say power. Then he gave them authority to over all devils. How many devils did he give them power over?
All.
So not even a small one. The large, large ones. So he gave them power over all devils. Not only that, but he said it to cure diseases. I wonder if that's still available today, to cure diseases. That's a pretty good gift to have. Notice also he gave power to 70 more disciples. Luke begins to say in Luke chapter 10, verses 1, after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also. Now, these were individuals aside from the 12 disciples he called. He gave them, he appointed 70 also and sent them two by two before his face to every city and place, whether he himself would come. Because, you know, he's just one person. He had to get this word across, get this ministry out. You know, when the Lord called me to Rhema, I was trying to figure out financially how I was going to do it. And because I didn't have any money, Sterling, I had no money in the bank. You know, I had absolutely no money in our ministry, of our church to send me over to send a family over to Rhema. And the Lord began to spoke to me supernaturally by the word of knowledge, and said that you need to get over to Rhema. And so I told my wife, and the Lord spoke to me in prayer, and a word of the Lord came unto me saying, and she said, "Are you sure?" She said, "Yeah, I'm absolutely sure. The Lord spoke to me, but I didn't have any money." How many people know that God will get you to do things when it seems like an unlikely thing to do? So it's very unlikely for me to go, because also it was not a good time in ministry for me to leave. How many people know that, you know, God knows the best timing even when you don't think so? So we didn't have any money in the bank. We didn't have, so we made preparations to just go by faith. We made the phone calls. We ordered the, different things that we needed to do, the rentals, and started packing by faith. And so the Lord called. We felt we were called. And so we had this question in our mind all the time: am I doing the right thing? How many people know you could have faith in your heart and doubt in your head? Everybody say, faith in my heart, doubt in my head. You know, the Lord will speak to your heart, not your head. Because your head will reason you out of the will of God. And so we began to make preparations. We felt the Lord led us, and so we went. And one of the classes, I had a question one morning when I was ironing my shirt there and asking the Lord, lamenting about why was I sent to Rhema. I didn't like it there. It was hot and, you know, muggy and tornadoes and such a far away. I wasn't used to the people, you know. I didn't really like the church. It's huge. And all the people's, talk funny. So that morning, the Lord spoke to me. Brother Hagin pointed right at us. Felt he was pointing right at me. He said, when the Lord appeared to me in 1950 to go teach my people faith, he was talking to you. And he said he gave a story about when he was traveling so many millions of miles by car, and he was wondering how he's going to get this message across. Lord, how am I going to get this word of faith out? I'm just one person. Then the word of the Lord came unto him about starting Rhema Bible Training Center. And so later on, of course, that great prophecy he had about, you know, what is this? What are these? What is this sound I'm hearing? Trump. This is the sound of those with the word of God and so forth. And so that's me. And that's Pastor Ken. And that's all of you here that God has called. Every one of you, God's called every one of you to preach the word of faith, to teach the word, to give that word. And so the Lord answered me and said, I've called you. And so I want to just also say this. The fall conference is because we have the fall conference, not because we don't have anything to do, because it's a stylish thing to do. It's because this thing about the word of faith, the Lord said to me, put on the conference and teach the word of faith and bring in faith teachers and people that could bring the word to the people. And so there's many people that don't come. They haven't caught the vision yet. And then there's times I feel so disappointed emotionally, mentally, because people don't come. And Lord said, Lord, no one's coming. Like, where's my friends? You know, they say they want to come, but they don't come. And there's a lot of times I've been disappointed after many, many meetings. We try to get funds to fund that conference. I felt God, you know, it's like an uphill battle a lot of times. And so I don't let that emotion get down to me, but I continue to do what God's called me to do. And so we do it because God said to do it. And some of you are getting the drift of it. You know, I mean, you don't think I have feelings. I go through a lot of emotions about things, about everything I think about. You know, I don't think about my own home finances and troubles of my home. I got the ministry to think about here, Spirit Alive. And, you know, you think that there's no trouble with having a ministry, just try it sometime. And the leadership you have to train every month, and the, the troubles and the wranglings you have among leadership, and the troubles we have with other churches and other pastors sometimes. There's all kinds of stuff to go through. And the lack of this, the lack of workers, and the lack of your presence, and lack of encouragement. You know, just sitting here alone is a very big encouragement for me. And I thank God for that one lady that showed up this morning that said she watched the Spirit alive, and she said, you know, and so on. We have different things that would pick me up at times. But so we have the fall conference because of teaching this message we have here. And so we're doing it because of the command of God to go out and teach my people. Acts 28, go out and teach my people. What are you going to teach them? Well, you're going to teach them the word of faith. What else are you going to teach them? And so he called 70 more. So that's 12 and 70, that's 82 people. Plus Jesus, that's 83 at that time. And then, you know, on the day of Pentecost, it was 120 more. And as the church grew bigger, there's more and more people to go and teach. And so thank God for this word of faith. So let's go to verse 9. He told the 70, heal the sick that are therein. He just didn't tell the 12 only to heal the sick, but he also told the 70 to heal the sick. But Mark 16 tells us that we should all lay hands on the sick. He said to them, the kingdom of God, tell them the kingdom of God is nigh unto you. And go to verse 17 to verse 19, the King James here. Notice what happened after. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. Praise God. Amen. The devils are subject to us through thy name. That's all devils. Every devil you come up with. Every one of them. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven, and behold, I give unto you power. Here's that word again, power. To tread on scorpions and serpents and over all the power. Here we see another word, power of the enemy. That's the devil. The enemy. 1 Peter 5 and 8 and 9 says that your enemy, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. He doesn't have to devour you if you got the word. He's going to do his best to bring you down. He's going to discourage you. He's going to bring word. He's going to bring sickness. He's going to bring poverty. He's going to bring different ailments and discouragements and relationship issues and troubles. He's going to do his best to take you out for good. Now the word power, you see there's two words in Luke 10 over there, 19. There's two words, power. I give you power over here. He says, to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. So there's two words. He said, I give you authority. I give you exousia. The word is exousia, I think it's E-X-O-S-I-A, something like that, U-S-I-A. Exousia, that means, you know, right and privilege to exercise dominion, legal right. So God has given us the legal right to use his name to exercise authority according to his word. Then the next word, we find the word dunamis. That's where you get the word in our English language, dynamite. You know, it's dynamite power. It's miraculous power. It's ability. One translation says ability. This power can undo the ability of the enemy, whatever he's put on you. So God has given you the right to exercise spiritual authority and power over all devils. Hallelujah. All devils. And, he's asking you to do it. And there's so many people I know, I grew up from a spiritual standpoint. My grandmother brought me up in that mentality about spiritual powers, taught us about different spirits. about inhabit animals or come with different things. You know, in our culture, we do have some of that teaching. In fact, I've talked to many of our people who are not born again Christians. They're Christians, and they go to these ceremonies, and they have these powers manifest themselves as different animal spirits, and they translate and give information and talk and so forth. So there's that side of the life that I understand from my background. So when I came among Christians and Pentecostals, I didn't have any trouble understanding about demons and powers like that, because also that I had Hollywood teaching me. But Hollywood gives you a slanted version of an advantage of the enemy having more advantage. So Hollywood teaches people that the devil is all-powerful. He can do whatever he wants to do. And he's doing a good job teaching that all over the world. And people like to go to a Hollywood movie and just get scared. And said they had a great time. And then can't sleep for a week. How many of you you saw the movie The Exorcist? Let me see your hand. Come on up here right now. I remember my sister, she said she went to see that movie and she couldn't sleep for like 2 weeks. So I don't know if my wife saw it. Did you see that movie? Praise God. Hallelujah. But anyway, she said one time she saw a movie at her cousin's, some kind of a scary movie, and she told you about it, and then you went to have to sleep with your mom and dad. Okay. And she at this time was 22 years old. But anyway, you see, the Bible says that Jesus gave these 70 the right to exercise dominion and authority over all these devils. And with the power of God. See, two things. You have the right and the power. Everybody say, I have the right and the power. So you have the right, to also, and the power to back it up. How many of you have ever cast a devil out of someone and they were manifesting a devil? Anybody like that here? Yeah. There's a few times, in fact, I cast a few devils out of a Christian, born-again, spirit-filled Christian. And they had manifested, they had some demonic influence in their lives. And so, they weren't possessed with a devil, but they just had influences in their lives. Thank God. I'm going to pray for you right now in the name of Jesus. Don't be afraid. I'm telling you this because, you see, people don't understand these things and they get afraid. And so, thank God, say, I'm not afraid. So you have authority. You can just resist the enemy anytime. And the devil wants you to be afraid of him. He wants you to think that he's got advantage over you, but you have an advantage over him. Amen. And so, I learned these things as I went along. I was afraid, first of all, when I was exercising, I was teaching this stuff, and this person who was actually spirit-filled, I was amazed. And I didn't realize that this actually can occur on certain people. But the Lord taught me. Then people say, well, maybe I got one. And maybe people are saying that right here. But you have every right to resist the enemy, even if you had a couple on you. You can set yourself free right now, praise God. Amen? That's the best way to be. And one of the best ways to be free from demonic influence is to start praising God. If you ever have depression and feel oppressed in your life, you begin to start praising God. You start lifting hands and worshiping God. The Lord taught me this myself. No one ever taught me this. And then later on, I was taught that. I said, oh, that was the Lord, the Holy Spirit taught me how to do that. Anytime you feel depressed or oppressed, thank God for his power. And so he said, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall hurt you. How many things are going to hurt you when you do that? Nothing. God promises you that when you exercise authority, nothing's going to happen to you. Say, nothing's going to happen to me. Say, nothing's going to happen to me. See, because you have to believe the word. Either you believe the word or you believe Hollywood. What are you going to believe? I'm believing the word. You know, so Isaiah 54 says, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Every tongue that rises up me in judgment, I shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and my righteousness is of him. Amen. We have right standing with God. You know, to be right with God, the Bible says by faith we've been made right with God. We have right standing with God. We are born again as righteous people. When you were born again into the kingdom of God, your spirit is righteous as a born again. There's no one here that's born again that does not have a righteous spirit. Now, as I said to you, we've been born again. Our spirits are thoroughly born again when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, but not your body nor your mind. That's why the Bible gives you the scriptures to renew your mind, to straighten out your thinking. And when you straighten out your thinking, you start to feel better. You start to, become, stable emotionally because you believe the word. See, when you start, letting stuff in your mind that's not right, then you start feeling bad. So thank God for it. Now, I'm just going to propose this idea here. It says, people take on the nature and character of the devil or evil influences that affect them. People take on the nature and character of the devil or the evil influences that affect them, or demonic influences. And we don't have to physically see the devil with our naked eye to deal with them. So the Bible teaches us how to respond to the enemy, how to take authority. So the Word of God, this scripture, are your eyes to see in the realm of the Spirit. The scriptures allow you to see what you can't see with your eye, to deal with something. That's why you need the Bible. You know, pilots, they don't fly with their natural, instincts and stuff like that, with their eyes and stuff. They use, of course, if you're flying in fog and stuff like that, you have to use different instruments. You have to use that, right? And so this is your instrument to fly in the realm where you can't see if you're in a fog. Amen? So we need to see this. Paul, under the unction of the Holy Spirit, said, for we are not fighting against flesh and blood. So your war is not against people. So when your boss is against you, that's not your boss against you. You might think it is. There's an evil power working behind that person at times to frustrate you, to get you off track so that you can get into some kind of rage or self-pity or something. That enemy does whatever he wants to get you off track, to distract you. Flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, the New Living Translation says. Against mighty powers and dark world, against evil spirits in heavenly places. Now, Ephesians 6:12 tells us that we are warring against these spirits. Our battle is against these. We have to live and deal with these spirits every day. Whether you like it or not, whether you agree with it or not, you are living in this realm where it's infested with evil spirits. You know, Psalm 23 says, yea, do I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Well, what's here? The evil powers are here. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff to comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Hallelujah. Thou anointest with my head with oil, my cup's running over. So he's talking about the believer in Psalm 23 is the modern day life that we're living today. So The valley of the shadow of death is this world that we're living in. Because death has been ruling and reigning ever since Adam departed from God. The Bible says that it came, but Jesus came to destroy that. So, evil spirits in heavenly places. Ephesians 6:12 says. So we are living in a realm where there's unseen people, or not people, spirits that are messing with people's lives and trying to take advantage of people. I want to mention something like this before, because these are the same powers. Colossians chapter 1, 14, 15 says that Jesus triumphed over them. These are the same spirits that Ephesians chapter 1, verses 16 to 23, I believe it is in there. That's the same spirits that Jesus conquered. And when he rose from the dead, he gave us his victory so that we can rule over them. So sometimes when people read Ephesians 6:18, you know, or 6:12, we fight against these spirits, and so they get all spooky because they feel that they have to fight against these spirits. No, Jesus already defeated the devil for you. And the biggest lie the devil has, he wants you to learn, or wants you to know this, that he has dominion over you. And he wants you to know also that he wants to tell everybody that he doesn't exist. If he doesn't exist, then you don't deal with him. You don't have to deal with him. He knows that you're human nature, because you want to deal with, you know, normal everyday things. Because we live mostly in the natural realm. We live mostly with what we see. We live mostly what we can feel. And so that's all. Sometimes what we, you know, even people who have been born again, they speak in tongues. That's all the world they live in. They never went beyond ever speaking with tongues. They had the experience of it. Yes, they've been filled with the Holy Spirit, but they've never had victory in other areas. They're still scared of the devil. Let fear dominate them. So they've never gone beyond that realm. The reason why is nobody taught them. And so they've never had an advantage in a church where people can teach them that you can pray for yourself and actually have your prayers answered. That you don't have to wait for Sunday morning for me to lay hands on you. You can do it for yourself, praise God, amen. You can do it for yourself today, praise God. Do it for yourself, praise God, amen. No, thank God, though. You know, I think there's times that we can lay hands on people, and I'll guarantee that I'll do it. I'll pray with you. And sometimes we do need other people to pray with us at times. Not all the time. Not every time. If you've got a sliver, you come up and run up to daddy and say, help me with this. No, you have to be able to do some things on your own. And take authority over your own life. And I told you last week, according to Romans 5:17, that we rule and reign. We rule by one Jesus Christ. The world we rule in this life by one Jesus Christ. We rule in this time right now. We rule. The scripture says that Ephesians says we rule in this life right now. The word rule has a connotation of kingship. Gives us the idea that a king, and a king rules by his own word. Amen. What you say in your life, that's what's going to happen. Amen. A king rules by his decree, by his word. He declares something in his kingdom. Your kingdom, you can rule in your own life by what you say. Amen. So we have to learn how to take dominion in our own lives. And I said there's three areas in which we take authority over in our own lives. There's three areas you have power in. Number one, of course, we've given you scriptures that you have dominion over all devils. You have authority over the devil. Secondly, you have dominion and authority over negative circumstances that have come against you to discourage you, to distract you from the things of God, to take away from the things of God. Are you listening to me? So don't take negative circumstances and say, oh, that's the way it is. No, you say, in the name of Jesus, I take authority over that spirit that's harassing me through that situation. In Jesus' name, I come against it. I command you to desist. Stop it right now. Amen? Amen. So you have dominion over all devils. Secondly, you have dominion over every negative circumstance that come against you to distract you and to take you away from the things of God. Are you listening to that? Thirdly, you have dominion and authority over your own life, over your own body, over your own mind. Say, my mind is my mind. Say, my emotions are my emotions. See, you can take authority. You can control your own emotions. You can control your own anger. You can control how bad you feel about things, how long you want to feel about a situation. And I was teaching in the college for a number of years, and I tell the students about, you know, you can decide how you want to feel. No, psychology says I just have to accept this whole thing. And I just, you know, somehow in psychology they messed us up. But psychology doesn't really teach that, but they get this idea that in psychology that's how you feel and that's the way it is. I guess you get that if you don't have the other version of it and understand this, that you can change the way you feel anytime you want by changing this over here. You can feel any way you want to feel right now. You can feel mad. You can feel depressed. You can feel mad at your ancestors. You can feel mad at everybody you want to feel if you want to. And that's how the devil gets into people's lives. It's when they get into negative emotion and the devil comes in and starts to, you know, we have to be careful. Some of us work in places where you're encouraged to take sides of different things, you know. And you think everybody's a predator. I worked in social services, and everybody is a potential child abuser. And all of a sudden, you don't want to let your kids anywhere, even their grandpa. You got to watch grandpa; he's a little pervert. But in your mind, like, you have to watch it, and it does happen. It does happen. So you have to be able to control yourself in those areas, and so it takes training for that. So you have to come to a Bible school. It does take training, I'm sure. I'm telling you, it don't happen. I tell you this right now. You say, oh, praise God, I'll go try that. No, you can't try that right away. You got to begin to know that. I mean, you can exercise that now. You know, it's easy exercising dominion in this room right now because it's full of faith in here. Everybody's dancing around, you know. Pastor Ken's dancing around, and then his kid says, I want shoes. Who do you think I am? But you know, you have this authority. You know, the enemy, he'll come and try to mess your mind up. That's why 2 Corinthians 10, 5 and 6 talks about that. You know, the enemy will put thoughts and feelings in your mind to mess you up. And so we have to come against those things and take authority over those thoughts immediately. Because if you can mess your mind up, if you can mess you emotionally up, he's going to get you off track. And some people take a 20-year, 30-year journey down the wrong road because of one emotion, because of one incident, they're gone on the wrong road, and they spent 25 years in depression or 25 years being angry when they could have enjoyed life all that time. So what? Your husband checked out on you. Go ahead and move on, praise God. There's more than one man in the world. I'm not telling you to leave your husband. I'm just telling you sometimes people just... you know, this guy's been cheating on you forever. He don't love you anyway. If he loved you, he wouldn't cheat on you. The number one command of this world that Jesus given us is that we love one another. Love doesn't go and talk about people and mess up on people. I better get off that. Anyway. So the enemy is an unseen enemy. And you can't see with your natural eye. Nor can you fight them with natural weaponry. So God gives us insight about him and how to deal with him through his word. We can decipher his whereabouts and his activity and defeat him every single time with the word of God. Philippians 1:28 says, "And nothing be terrified by your adversaries. Do not be afraid of dealing with the enemy." When we have the right scripture, balanced scripture of God's word in our lives, we will not be afraid of the enemy. The fear of the enemy will stop then. Now, fear can come in many forms. Like not just a boogeyman, you know. I have a bad feeling. No, it comes from some kind of thinking you got. It's usually, fear comes usually when you're going to lose something. I might lose this. I might not have enough money. I might not have enough strength. What if I get sick? What if I die? What if this? What if that? What if my, insurance claim doesn't come in? So on. So many times people are afraid because they can't see the enemy. And you can't hardly defeat an enemy that you can't see, they say. But God has us all covered that we are not to fear the devil at any moment, any time. We are to resist him with his word and his spirit. So Jesus gave those disciples, as well as those 12, he gave them power and authority to deal with the devil. And so it continues on in this hour. We are to stand against the enemy in his activities. We must stand against him on every front. We're not to lie down and let the enemy overtake our lives. He can't just come around and destroy you, your house and your home and your business, your family, your workplace where you work, and he can't. But you have to resist him. So he can't just legally come in and do whatever he wants to do. He doesn't have that right. You belong to God. God is your property. The Bible says that your body and your spirit is bought with a price. Glorify God in your body and in your mind. Ephesians 4:27. The Bible says, neither give place to the devil. Neither give place to the devil. Now, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27, the Bible says that we should not give the place. One scripture says, don't give him any room. Don't give him any opportunity. Or don't give him any place in your life. Ephesians 4:27. So, if God commands you and I not to give him any place in our lives, then we have legal right and authority to do so. God would never tell you and me to do something we cannot do. Amen. So, I remember listening to a story of the president of our Bible school. He was giving a small dissertation on some of his spiritual findings. As Jesus appeared to him, I think it was seven times and so many short period of time, so many years. One time he says that the Lord appeared to him in a vision. And as he was, Jesus was saying to him, I want to show you how to deal with the enemy, the devil. And so as he's listening to Jesus speak to him, and a demon appeared in front of between him and Jesus. He says, this demon sat in front of Jesus, and he was screaming out, yakety yak, yakety yak. And he said he couldn't hear Jesus. He couldn't even see sometimes with Jesus' mouth because that devil kept jumping up. And every time he jumped up, a puff of smoke would come up. He couldn't see Jesus. Someone says, I wish I would have seen that. So here's our president of our school giving this story to us, and he said this demon appears between him and Jesus talking to him. He said, I'm going to tell you how to deal with the enemy. And the devil appears there, and he's doing all this activity trying to prevent Jesus from hearing. And so Jesus is getting frustrated. about what he couldn't hear Jesus. He said, I can't hear a thing he's saying to me. Why doesn't Jesus do anything about that demon? Why doesn't Jesus do anything about that demon? The demon is jumping up and down. He can't hear. And finally, he got upset. He said, in the name of Jesus, stop it now in the name of Jesus. And that demon fell on the floor, started crying and whimpering and just kind of melted away. And Jesus turned to him and said, you know, if you didn't do anything about that demon, I couldn't. And he kind of shook his head. He said to Jesus, oh, I misunderstood you, Jesus. You mean to say that if you didn't do anything, you wouldn't? Well, Jesus said, if you didn't do anything about that demon, I couldn't. He said that three times. He said, wait a minute, Jesus. I don't understand what you're saying. He said, if I didn't do anything about that demon, you wouldn't? I said, he says, if you didn't do anything about the devil harassing your life, I couldn't do anything about it. Because God has given you and me the authority, the legal right, to deal with the enemy. He's not going to deal with the enemy. You have to deal with the enemy yourself. He wants you to take authority in your own life. And sometimes we allow the enemy to harass us with fear and with poverty and with failure, with all these things that he's affected your life and family with for years and years, to allow you to be down, to stay down. And it's time for you and me as a Christian, as a believer, to rise up and take our place. What do you say we take our place? Praise God. Well, there's about seven people said amen. But we're going to get there. Amen. Thank God. Now, Ephesians 4:27 says, give no place to the devil. So we're not to give him any place. And I said, why would God say that or make that comment if we can't? Because you can. You can give place to the devil if you want to. And many people have allowed the devil to enter their lives, with any kind of bad habit or any kind of whatever it is, abuse or whatever you're doing, negative activities or whatever it is, you just yield to it. So we're not to give in to evil desires and bad thoughts and everything and start living like it just because you had it. You say, well, it's in my thoughts. We are to resist it. We have authority and power over him. And where did we get it from? We got it from Jesus himself. He said, here's my power. James 4:7 says this. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil and flee from you. Now, you have to understand, God, that word God, it means God Almighty. But when was the last time you actually saw God Almighty yourself and you submitted to him? You haven't. No one has. But God has instituted his scripture and his line of authority in your life. When you do not submit to the authorities that God placed in your life, then you're not submitting to God. Like a police officer, you get mad because you got a ticket. You're the one that was driving fast. He wasn't. God has instituted your parents and your spiritual advisors, your pastor, and you resisted them. And so we need to understand that God has, we were taught a course at school at Rhema about spiritual authority and power. We have to understand there's a standard of spiritual power in our lives that God has instituted for us. Amen. And we have to submit to one another. Yeah. In the fear of God. Yeah. There's times my wife and I, she most of the time she gets mad at me. And we submit to each other. See, we have to learn to agree to disagree. And so, you know, I don't hold a grudge on my wife. She doesn't hold a grudge on me. I hope not. We get along. Like, it's better to get along, right, Jerry? If she wants to go and have chicken, you let her have chicken. So resist the devil means you can withstand him with the authority that God has given you. We need to know what God says. When God says submit to God, we need to know what that actually entails for you at that time. Amen. When he says submit to God, it is conducive to the situation you're under right now. Submitting to God takes on a form of whatever the scripture says to do. Don't lie on your income tax and expect God to bless you financially. He said, oh, the devil's stealing my finances. No, you're the one that's first of all stealing. So we have to see those things that, you know, we have to understand that, right? So he said, he'll flee from you. Submit to yourself to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. The word flee means to run from you as in terror. The NCV translation, so the New Century Version says that, so give yourselves completely to God, stand against the devil, and the devil will run from you. So when you're submitted to God, life is submitted to God, and you come running down the road, and you say, hey, here's Ernie coming, we better get out of here. We have to stand against him. So demonic influence, or people with demonic influences, they take on the characteristics of the devil. Jesus, you know when Jesus was encountering those Pharisees or those religious folks that they were having an argument, Jesus said, you're like your father, the devil. Because they wanted to kill Jesus, right? They wanted to destroy him. They wanted to do a lot of damage to Jesus. And Jesus said, you're just like your father, the devil. You take on his character and you take on his nature. You're trying to kill me and you're taking on. He said, the devil, Abraham is our father. So people will take on whatever influence they're yielding to. They're going to take on that character and that nature. So we don't have to see the evil spirit. We just have to recognize the enemy through the scripture. So you'll take on the nature of lying spirits, a wicked spirit, a fear devil, weakness devil, confusion devil, bondage devil, sickness devil. It can take on certain, these things take on certain, influences to people's lives. Influence people, influence nations even. Yet people are yielding to these. So here's a story here of a man with a deaf and dumb spirit. When he was casting out a devil, the Bible says, and it was dumb, and it came to pass that when the devil was gone out, the dumb spake. That's over here in Luke chapter 11, 14. After the dumb spirit was cast out, that person could talk. I heard stories of different men of God, old men of God that's been around for years. They said they had occasions where people who've had addictions and different kind of things like fear or even Christians who can't speak want to give testimony, but they can't speak. They had an evil influence in their lives. He said, I was able to cast these spirits out, and all of a sudden they can speak with no problem because they have a continual influence in their lives. So they were able to be free. See, you can take on any kind of a influence, sometimes it enters somehow. Luke 11, 20 says, but if I, with the finger of God, cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God has come unto you. He said, I cast out a devil with my little finger. He said, that's easy. So it took the whole arm of God to raise Jesus from the dead. It wasn't just rigor mortis. It was more than rigor mortis that Jesus had to be raised from. Had to be raised from all the sins of the world. The sin nature of man was broken. So, in Luke 11, the dumb spirit was cast out. The person could speak. People took that person took on the characteristic. The madman of Gadara lived among the dead and the tombs, and he was had a bad, you know, of course, hygiene, everything else, and he had a bad spirit on him. Jesus was able to cast that spirit out of him. He was out of his mind, and he came to his right mind, the Bible says. Took on that nature of that spirit. So we need to resist the enemy. Luke 15 says that people said that Jesus had, Luke 11:15, the people said that Jesus had an evil spirit to cast out the spirit. No, Jesus said, no, I don't have no evil spirit. I cast out, you know, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of the devil cannot stand it if it's fighting against itself. So, 1 John 4:4 says, the greater one is inside of us. Amen. We need to employ that power of that person inside of us, the Holy Spirit. There was a lady over here in Luke chapter 13, verses 11 to 17, a lady who had a spirit of infirmity for 18 years. The Bible said she was bent over, crippled, couldn't move, and couldn't do anything for herself. Jesus said that this woman ought to be loose. So, let's go ahead and read that. We'll shut off from there. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years. This is Luke chapter 13, verse 11. And she was bowed together and could not wise lift herself. Then when Jesus saw her, he called her to him. And when he said to her, woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity, he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. The ruler of that synagogue answered with indignation because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and said unto the people, there are 6 days in which men ought to work in them, therefore be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. And the Lord answered and said unto him, thou art hypocrite, does not one of you on the Sabbath day loose his ox or ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? And not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan had bound, lo, these 18 years, be loose from this bond on the Sabbath day. And when he had said these things, all the adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for the glorious things that were done by him. So, the Bible says that Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit, went about doing good and healing all that was oppressed of the enemy, of the devil, in Acts 10:38. So, that's what happened right there. The enemy had bound this woman for all these years. She was in bondage. How many people know that sickness is bondage? So Jesus himself called sickness bondage. It holds you in bondage. You know, just even little things that would, even little sicknesses can hold you in bondage. It's amazing. So, you know, the devil, how does he get into people's lives? Well, the Bible says in John 13 that the devil put into the heart of Judas Iscariot to betray Jesus. He'll get in there, entering through people's minds, their thinking. And once that thinking becomes part of their mentality, that thinking becomes a part of their spirit. Gets imprinted on the inside of them. That's why people over the years, if you live in a certain lifestyle, you live in poverty or weakness or fear, you live in just a mental victim mentality all their lives, that thing in their mind gets right down imprinted in their spirit, and they live like that for the rest of their life and then give that to other people around them. So Judas was influenced by Satan. Any one of us, if we allow it, can have demonic influences in our lives. Peter was walking with Jesus. Now, think of this for a moment. I want you to understand this as we close with this. Judas was one of the 12 that was called by Jesus himself. He was called by Jesus, followed Jesus, saw miracles, was in the best services ever. He was in the best miracle services. He saw the best teaching services, best preaching services with Jesus, traveling with Jesus. And yet, he allowed the devil to enter his life. Now, some of you, and I'm getting this by watching this in this church. Some people are so lax with the word, it's not even funny. Not just this church, this church as well. People just take it or leave it. They take church, whatever, they take it or leave it. I read the Bible, whatever, I'm okay. Me, I'm okay. But they never think about the next guy that they need to influence. The next guy they have to work with. So we need to wake up. They're the best services. Come on, you need to think about it. And people say, well, it's in the scriptures, in the psalm, that, it was said that, Judas had to do this. No. He could have said, no, I don't have to do this. I don't have to cheat. See, he lied. He began to, you read the story, you start listening to Judas, he started feeling sorry for himself. And he started to steal money. He wasn't satisfied about what he was getting with Jesus. He's going to betray Jesus and get this money because his mind is on money. He got out of the ministry on money, and plus he lost his life. He committed suicide because he felt so bad betraying Jesus. Think about that. So we need to take heed to the fact to really examine our own lives where we've allowed the enemy in our own lives. Like I said, people can go down the road for many, many years, and just realize that one day that I've been on this wrong road for a long time. Now, you don't have to do that. You can stop right now. You can just get off right now and say, you know what? I've had it. You know, the enemy, the devil cannot force you to do something. You have a free will. Even God himself cannot force you. So let's take our bodies and minds, give it to God this morning and say, Lord, I'm not letting any unseen force control my life. Let's go ahead and stand up as we close in prayer this morning. Father, we want to thank you this morning. Hallelujah. Can everybody say hallelujah? Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Say, I have a power and authority over all devils. Say, I won't be controlled by unseen forces. I will obey the word of God. I submit to God. I will resist the devil, and he will flee from me. So, devil, I'm submitting to God right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I come to you, submitting my whole spirit, my soul and body. Forgive me for disobedience in my life. Thank you, Father, for the blood of Jesus Christ washing me, cleansing me, and protecting me. I am now full of the Holy Spirit, full of the Word of God, and now I resist the enemy. I tell you, Satan, and all your cohorts, get away from me. Get away from my body. Get away from my mind. Get away from my emotions. Get away from my home. Get away from my business. Get away from my work. Get away from my children. In the name of Jesus, you are gone right now. I resist you in the name of Jesus. And I plead the blood of Jesus over my home,